And all of God's people said, amen. In my efforts to stay relevant with the youth, when I was a youth pastor, let's just say a few years ago, I would use their language in greeting. And so when one of the youth would come into the youth room, I would say, it smells like Up Dog in here, which a few would respond, what's Up Dog? And I was quick to say, what's Up Dog? You know, I actually got a few more laughs here than I did back then, mostly eye rolls back then. But it was positive. It was okay to refer to someone as a dog. What's up, dog? You're my dog. But unfortunately, you know, in most cases, it's not very nice to call someone a dog. We're normally pointing out that they're not one of the best lookers. A lot of y'all share my love for the Andy Griffith Show, and I know you remember this episode of Andy and Barney trying to help Ernest T. Bass find a lady. And so they have polished him up perfectly, and they sent him off to Mrs. Wiley's social club. How do you do, Mrs. Wiley? No coffee, tea, or punch. Thank you. Ernest is doing great. And then Barney comes in, and he surveys the scene. He looks around, and he notices all the ladies that are there, and he says that, not much prospects here, not much prospects here. They're dogs, dogs, all dogs. And Andy says, barn. And he says, well, if you flew a quail through here, they'd all point. It wasn't very nice of Barney to say that. It's not nice to refer to someone as a dog. In Jesus' day, it was so much worse to call someone a dog. You see, dogs in that day and time were seen as just wild animals. They were dirty. They were unclean. It was the worst thing to refer to someone as a dog. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to follow along with me. We're looking at this text here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. So in this story that we just heard, did Jesus really call this woman a dog? And if so, it doesn't seem very Christian-like of Jesus to do. I admit this is one of the more tougher scripture passages to study, to preach on. In fact, on the surface, some say that these are the most shocking words that Jesus says in all of the Gospels. When we read these words, it brings up a lot of questions. And we may not leave today with just easy answers to these questions. Perhaps we may leave today with more questions, which is fine. It's good to question, because we know when we question, we're learning, we're growing in our faith. But our goal today and our challenge is to look below the surface of this passage, of these words, to try to identify any of the barriers, any of the biases, any of the things in that culture that are going on. And in turn, to look at some of the biases that we may have with our own culture and context. We're going to look at the geography of this story. We're going to look at this woman's background, who she was, and we're going to finally take a moment just to look at the conversation, as brief as it was, between Jesus and this lady. The location we see in verse 24 is this area, vicinity of Tyre. Now, this is important. Tyre was originally an island. In 324 BC, Alexander the Great, he came and he destroyed this city. And they used the ruins to build a causeway, a land bridge. And so for those during this time when Jesus was there that lived in this city, they enjoyed a great ocean view and a breeze. But as you can imagine, they had to pay for this view and this breeze. Only the wealthy, only the rich could afford to live in this area. To get their food, to get their crops, to get their bread, they had to pay to have it brought in to be imported from the region of Galilee. So we have mostly Jews that are wealthy. I mean, the Gentiles, the Greeks that are wealthy in this area of Tyre that are paying the Jews in Galilee to bring in their food, their crops, their bread. During the good times, this is a mutually beneficial relationship. But when there's times of scarcity, when there's a famine, there's a little bit of an issue here. As you can imagine, when food is scarce, the one who has the most money is going to be able to get food. And so literally the rich people in Tyre were buying the bread off of the table of those poor Jewish peasants in the Galilean region. And so you can understand this bias that they had. They would refer to them as these Gentile dogs. And they resented them from taking the bread off of the table of the children of Israel, the Jews. In fact, the Jewish historian Josephus said that those people from Tyre were the most resented enemies of the Jews. So here we have this bias, this barrier that already exists between the Jews from the Galilean area and the Gentiles from those in this area around Tyre. We look then at the woman. The story says that she was born Syrian Phoenician, which tells us that she was from the southern part of Syria in the same area of Tyre. It also tells us that she was a Greek, which gives her the label as a Gentile. So she's from this area of Tyre. She's a Gentile. So she's from the wrong area. There's already going to be a bias between Jesus and this lady. Does it matter where we're born? Do people treat you differently based on your origin of birth, where you're from? The answer should be no. But if we're honest, we treat differently based on where they're from. I've got a relative, I'll just call him a distant relative, that is not too fond of people from locations above the Mason-Dixon line. I don't like the way they talk. They talk too fast. I don't trust them. So there's a bias there. But then I've been the only person from the South in a group of Northerners, and they were fascinated by the way I talked. Hi there, say something. You talk funny. Well, okay. I tried to talk more like Forrest Gump and as Southern as I could. But we do have that bias, so it's easy to understand based on from where you're at, there could already be a barrier between Jesus and this lady. But more importantly was the fact that she was a woman. You see, Jesus was raised during a time where it was forbidden. They taught against someone like Jesus, a man, even speaking to a woman like her. Some of the Jewish rabbi teachers would teach their male students a gratitude prayer. Pray to God to thank God that you're not a Gentile or a woman. We finally see Jesus go to this house in the Tyre area. And he goes just to get away from everything. He's tired of preaching. He's tired of teaching and of healing all these folks. But somehow they find out where he's at. And this woman, she shows up. She comes. She finds him. And she falls at his feet. And she pleads to Jesus. She begs Jesus, please save my daughter. Jesus' response, "First, let the children eat all they want, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Such hostile words here for him to share towards her. We look at all those barriers that exist, the ones that we have identified around the story, the barriers between a Jew and a Gentile, the barriers between a Jewish person from the Galilee area and the Gentiles from this Tyrian region, the barriers that exist between a male and a female. And I believe in this case, noting these barriers, that Jesus wasn't specifically calling this woman a dog in the negative sense, but perhaps illustrating a scene from the home. He's painting a picture that obviously you would feed your child first before you would take that food and feed it to the dog. He's using this picture to try to teach this woman that his ministry was first to the Jews. That was his primary focus. If you look at Matthew's gospel account of this story, Jesus says that I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, meaning primarily my ministry is to the Jews. And there's only several instances in the gospel where Jesus reaches out and ministers to a Gentile. This story here, where he heals the centurion's servant. And if you remember when he talked to that Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus' main focus, his main ministry, was to the Jews. You read in Acts, it took a while for the early church to realize that God was calling them to reach out to the Gentiles, to share Christ with them. And so here we have just the second part of this conversation, the woman's reply. "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And then Jesus' reply, "Because of what you said, your daughter is healed." She shares some bold words with Jesus. Some scholars would even argue that she bested Jesus in a debate, based on his reply to her. But I think more important than what she said back to Jesus is what she didn't say. She used a different word for dog. She didn't use the word that we would think of a yard dog, Cujo or Beast from the Sandlot. No, she used a word, little dog, that we might consider as our pet. She didn't ask for a loaf of bread. She didn't ask for two pieces of bread just to make a sandwich. She asked just for some crumbs. She didn't ask for her daughter to be fed first. She asked that, "Just give us the leftovers. Whatever's left, whatever crumbs are there, we'll take it." At its core, this is a story about overcoming barriers and bias. It's a story that challenges us to look at the own barriers and bias and prejudices that we have in our life. Who in your life, if they came to you today and asked for some bread, would you have a hard time giving them bread? Would you have a hard time even giving them some crumbs? There's a list. We could all fill it out. People that we are biased towards, that barriers that exist, that we just don't want to deal with, these type of people. We can make it easy and say, you know, you don't want to help anybody that happens to be a Duke Blue Devils fan, right? I won't even go and say an Estate fan, seeing being I'm Tar Heels. There's bias there. But it's harder when we start to really take a serious look at our own prejudices. Are we biased towards someone of a different religion or faith? Are we biased to someone of the Christian faith, but just a different denomination? You know, the Methodists and the Lutherans are all right, but those Presbyterians, that's predestination, that's just not right. Are we biased towards others of a different political party? Do we have prejudice against someone of a different race? Do we treat people differently because they come from an area that we're not from? Do we have bias over someone's gender? Early church historian Father Origen, in studying this scripture passage, his interpretation of the people in the Tyre area, those Gentiles, he referred to them as people on the border. These are Gentile sinners that are on the border. These are people who aren't living the life they're supposed to be. They're on the outside, on the border. But because they're on the border, they're close enough to be saved. Because they're on the border, they're close enough to be invited in. Who do you know that's on the border? That's close enough for you to share Christ with them. Who do you know that's on the border that's close enough for you to invite, to be a part of our community of faith? Our challenge today is to take this difficult story, these words that Jesus shared, and to look and to reflect inward at our own prejudice, our own bias, those barriers that exist within our culture and context, and to be challenged to overcome those barriers, to cross over those borders, to allow Christ to transform our lives so that we can reach out and help those in need. Let's pray. God, it's difficult times being from certain areas and just growing up in different cultures where we developed prejudices and biases, Lord. And you know the challenges that each and every one of us face. And Lord, we know that there are many people out there that are different than us. But despite their differences, they need to know your love. They need to know that you care for them. And we pray, God, that you will use us to be your hands and feet, to cross over those barriers that exist, to share Christ with them. We pray, God, that you'll use us, that you'll bless us and guide us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with a time of response. We'll do that through singing our hymn of invitation.